Opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I went with Ford. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee, because you go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And the service department, which does a great job, whether it's quick lane, inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. And great to have with us the play-by-play voice of SMU football, Rich Phillips. Can't wait to see you Saturday at Beaver Stadium. It's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So, I know you and I exchanged some lineups earlier in the week. let's get into your team. When the move was made from Preston Stone to Kevin Jennings, what did it do to the SMU offense as to what they could do that maybe they couldn't do before?
One thing it really did, and it was really evident in the game where the change kind of happened. I mean, both guys played each of the first three games, but in game three against BYU, the pass rush was just relentless when Preston Stone was in. And because of the mobility and the speed of Kevin Jennings, they backed off with that pass rush. And we've seen more of that since then. And then, frankly, Kevin's just grown into the offense so much. He's a little over a year removed from his first start. He had to take over in the American Athletic Conference Championship game last year when Preston got hurt. And from that time to now, his trust in his offense, his trust in his teammates, and his trust in himself has grown immensely. He doesn't just look to take off and run anytime the pocket breaks down. He'll move around. He can throw on the run. He can set and throw. His arm talent is just, to me, off the charts for a guy who's only 6 foot tall. I'm really impressed with how well he can throw the football.
Right. And you know, you're talking also 66%. There's been some accuracy to go with that, right?
Yeah, definitely so. And again, it comes from, you know, his arm talent. I mean, the angles that he can throw from, that helps make up a little bit, I think, sometimes for his lack of height. There's times where, you know, he'll have a big pass rusher coming right in his face and he'll drop down sidearm and throws a bullet. And it's really impressive with how strong his arm is, and that leads a lot, I think, to the accuracy that he has too.
Rashard Smith was a wide receiver at Miami. What did Rhett Lashley see in him that said, you know what, he could be a, quote, running back for us?
Well, he knew he wanted him here because, of course, Rhett was his offensive coordinator for, I believe, 1 year while he was at Miami, of the 2 years that Rhett was there. And he knew he wanted him here, but he didn't have a place for him at wide receiver. He knew he would be a dangerous kickoff returner, and he felt he could be a running back here just because of his speed. He only had 18 carries in his 3 years that he played at Miami. And, you know, he became, as an all-purpose player, an All-American this year here at SMU. He has really grabbed the bull by the horns himself, Rashard has, because he's not just a guy that needs to bounce it outside and use his speed. He's not afraid to run up the middle between the tackles. He's really improved from game one to now with his blitz pickup and his protection to the quarterback, too. And frankly, I think he may have turned himself into an NFL player with this one dynamic season he's had here.
He's been outstanding, over 1,100 yards rushing. And how valuable is he to Kevin Jennings? Just swinging out of the backfield and just being there.
Very much so. And you know, they'll even run him downfield, too, because that is the other side of it is when they send him downfield, he makes moves and catches balls like a wide receiver does. Yep. He's not just a back out of the backfield. He knows what to do when he gets downfield. And as a running back, he often ends up in mismatches, too, with linebackers trying to defend him downfield. So, yeah, he's been a real dangerous weapon all the way around.
Daniels, he made a phenomenal catch in the ACC championship game to set up a touchdown. When you look at him in the running game, wide receiver, and as a returner, what does he mean to this team?
A little bit of everything. And, you know, it's a shame that we're just about done with him here. He's played all 4 years here. He didn't get a COVID year, doesn't get a redshirt year, and we keep looking for another year because he is absolutely playing his best in the last month and a half. And you mentioned in the running game early in the season, because of injuries, he ended up, as a matter of fact, in the Florida State game, he was the number two running back for that game. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the number one, because Breshard Smith went to the locker room with a minor injury at one point, he's gone back to wide receiver now pretty much full-time, partly because of numbers there with some injuries. But he is a playmaker. He's got big play ability. As a punt returner, he's nerve-wracking. Let's put it that way. And he had a touchdown earlier this year. He had a touchdown last year, too. But he'll muff one on you here or there. So he can be a little bit nerve-wracking back there. But obviously a huge weapon for them all the way around.
How about the word adventurous? You like that?
Yes, there you go.
Adventurous would be good. I like that. Everybody gets hit with injuries. I can give you the list. In fact, I gave you the list of guys that were not on the depth chart for Penn State that have the long-term injury deal. SMU's been hit with it as well, a tight end wide receiver. What kind of impact has that had down the stretch?
Well, not as much as would have in years past before this was a Power 4 program because they have the depth. I mean, at the start of the season, running back has been hit with injuries too. At the start of the season, we were wondering how four guys were going to get carries. Well, one was injured on the second day of fall camp, and one was injured in week two of the season of those four guys. And so now you're down to Breshard Smith and his primary backup, L.J. Johnson. Wide receiver, they've been down to four for the most part for a month. Now they've added one in since, Romello Brinson, a guy who was hurt early in the season, and they opted to hold him out so that he actually's got a red shirt and come back next year, but he can play here in the postseason, and he had a great game last week against Clemson. R.J. Maryland, huge loss, a tight end. He's not quite as good as your guy, but he's pretty good. The thing that's been great is that Matt Hibner, who you guys may have seen when he was in Michigan the last several years, he caught two balls in all of his time at Michigan, and he's turned into a really reliable receiver here. It has a chance to come back next year, too, with a COVID year at his disposal. So they've been able to make up for those losses because of the depth that they have recruited here, which is something that, for this program, is an all-new thing to do.
Well, in fact, he played here last year for Michigan. And see, that's when I look at the transfer portal, it's guys like him that I look at, and it makes sense because he's behind Courtland Loveland. Right, with all due respect to him, because they've kind of established what the pecking order is, he's not going to pass him out. Now he goes to SMU, he's got a great opportunity. To me, that's what the portal's about.
Yeah, and at the start of this year, he was behind R.J. Maryland, and they weren't throwing in the ball much. And as soon as R.J. blew his knee out in the Stanford game, he became the number one guy, and he even showed a speed we didn't know he had. He had an 80-yard touchdown catch against Pitt last month. So he's made the most of his opportunity here in the last half of the season.
Defensively, those Booker I've seen before because he played at Maryland against Penn State. The two defensive ends to me are very impressive. What have they done to really disrupt offenses to this point?
So Elijah Roberts was a guy who had 10 sacks last season, has not put up the same numbers sack-wise this year, but he has such a great effect on the game. He's played way differently this year than he was last year, and it's limited his sack numbers. But Pro Football Focus has had him among the top three, top five in quarterback pressures all season long. So he's very disruptive that way. And then Jafari Harvey off the other edge, a Miami transfer. By the way, Elijah was a Miami transfer last year, and Harvey a Miami transfer this year. And you've probably seen we got a lot of those on this SMU roster. Jafari, though, has tremendous speed coming off the edge. He's got an interesting trick, too, if you saw the way the Duke game ended. SMU had to block a field goal at the end of regulation to have any chance, and he did a one-step hop over the line and then another hop to block the field goal that would have won the game for Duke. Gave SMU the chance to win it in overtime, but really athletic and really fast off the edge is what Harvey brings with him.
I also noticed in watching some video, there'll be times where Roberts and Harvey, in pass situations, occasionally line up on the same side together. How effective is that package?
Very much so because, Elijah will move in and play defensive tackle because he's got enough size to play inside. And it allows them to get either Cameron Robertson or Isaiah Smith as the other edge rusher opposite of Jafari Harvey. And Smith is a guy who's been a career backup here, and he has 14 sacks in his three seasons here. And he may be the fastest guy on the defensive line. So, that's really one of the advantages. It gives you another pass rush threat on the inside, but bring in another one of their really good edge rushers on top of it.
Kobe Wilson, side to side, I'm impressed watching him play at that linebacking spot. What has he meant to that defense?
Oh, he's meant so much. This is his second year after transferring in from Temple, and he's a guy who came in with a chip on his shoulder because he was pretty lightly recruited coming out of high school, coming out of Georgia, and felt he should have been considered for by power schools, power conference schools, and he wasn't. And he's played like it for 2 years, and he is absolutely the vocal leader and the emotional leader of that defense. It's funny because Ahmad Walker, who plays alongside of it, linebacker, they're roommates, they're best friends, and they're complete polar opposites personality. Ahmad never says anything, and Kobe doesn't stop talking, and we enjoy it. He's fun, but he is a real dynamic guy, and he had a pick six this year against Florida State that was the most determined 82-yard run the team has had this season as he ran through and literally over guys. He's been a huge part of this defense here.
Plays a lot of zone in the secondary. Your thoughts on how the secondary has played to this point?
Definitely they're better than we thought they were going to be. Cornerback was the biggest question coming into this season for SMU. Brandon Crossley, a guy that moved from safety out to corner this year, has really, really grown into that role. They kind of rotated the other side between two guys with Deuce Harmon and Jalen Davis Robinson. Now, the safety spot, they got three of them they'll play, three spots they play. They've got four guys they'll rotate amongst those spots. And that's really the strength of this defense right behind those linebackers. Isaiah Wacoby, at number 23, really the leader of that group. He was all conference in the ACC this year and has been kind of the physical force of the defense on the back end.
And Colin Rogers, I mean, look, I've done this a long time. I don't think I've ever seen a kicker 15 to 21 beyond 40 yards. What has his scoring range meant to SMU's ability to score?
You know, one of the biggest things is end of half. If they get the ball back at late first half with a minute to go, you always just get to the 40, maybe the 38, and you're in field goal range. Yep. And that's kind of the goal at that point because it's a luxury that Rhett Lashley admits that he has and he likes to take advantage of. He's 7 of 11, I believe, this year from 50-plus.
Yes.
That's one off the NCAA record for 50-yard field goals in a season. It's been tremendous to have a kicker who's that reliable. He's the all-time leading scorer in SMU history. Three guys were tied for that record. One of them you may have heard of, Eric Dickerson, who was tied for that record previously. And he broke that 1st of October this season, and he's going to be here for another year, too.
So, Rich, I have to ask you about the transition to the ACC. I know that the SMU is not taking television money because in part they can afford to do it. I also understand within 48 hours of the ACC announcement, the amount of money raised was phenomenal. What did it mean to go from a group of five, an American champion, which they were a year ago, to being in a power four like this? What did it mean to the SMU community?
Well, you hit on it, although it was not quite 2 days. We took a week after the announcement was made last year to raise $100 million.
Okay.
$100 million in 1 week. That's all.
Yeah.
Because while not taking the TV money, they are still getting the other revenue sources from the conference, which already puts them ahead of where they were in the American. But they want to compete on the same financial level, so they had to get the donor support, and they saw it immediately. You know, we have a small stadium here at SMU, certainly compared to Beaver Stadium, but the crowds weren't anywhere near filling the place up for many, many years. And they sold out three games, and every game had the best attendance. They had the highest percentage increase in the country in attendance this year among all the power schools. It has meant so much to a fan base that's been starved for this kind of thing ever since the death penalty hit the program in 1987.
Yeah, I know. I remember going back to that, and I talked about it the other day. The one common denominator player-wise is Matt McCartan, who played at SMU. Death penalty happened. He ended up starting as a tackle here at Penn State. He was out at Dallas Highlands, I think, high school. And he's the one common denominator. But when they gave SMU the death penalty, they really gave them a long-term sentence. It took forever for them to get out of it. It must have been just a tough, tough road to get there. And Rhett's done an obviously phenomenal job with this.
Yeah, and some of it started before him, too. But, yeah, it was a tough road after the death penalty, and some of it was self-inflicted because the school wanted to make sure things like that didn't happen again. And they locked down so many things with academic requirements and things like that that made it tough to compete on the right level football-wise. You know, I think they started to turn the corner a little bit as far back as 2009 when June Jones was here in his second year, got him to a bowl game for the first time in 25 years. Sonny Dykes came in 18, and he's the one who brought Rhett Lashley here as his offensive coordinator in 2018. And in 2019, got the school back into the top 25 for the first time since the mid-80s. And they've kind of got it going there. I mean, they've had double-digit wins now in three of the last six seasons, two in a row here with Rhett Lashley leading them. But it's been a long slog to get here, I know that.
What's the excitement level around this game in the Dallas area?
Oh, huge. You know, our professional football team's not doing so well around here. So the college team stepped in at the right time, you know, and frankly, the other side of the Metroplex, TCU, hasn't been at the same level the last 2 years after they went to the national championship game with a bit of surprise, kind of like SMU's here in the CFP this year. But, yeah, it's as big as I have seen for this program since the Pony Express days, for sure.
It's going to be a great game coming up on Saturday. Rich, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much for all the time you gave me before and all the time today. I really appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. Now, you're going to hold the snow off for us, right?
I don't think it's going to snow on Saturday. I don't think so. I think that
just 26, huh?
Well, I didn't say life was perfect.
So we can deal with 26, just no snow.
Yeah,
we'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much in the precipitation part. 26? Yeah, probably. So, yeah. Just warm.
It was 38 last week at the ACC championship, so I think they can deal with that.
There you go. Rich, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Rich Phillips, the play-by-play voice of SMU football and basketball. They are here Saturday at noon. We'll be on the air with our broadcast beginning at 10:30 from Beaver Stadium. It'll be the last game that we ever broadcast in the current booth at Beaver Stadium, because when it's all said and done, they're tearing the baby down. So, yeah, that'll be Saturday in Beaver Stadium. Again, noon the kickoff, 10:30 will be the airtime. And I didn't tell Rich that I think it might be snowing Friday night, but not snowing during the game. All right. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.